open our hearts and minds to welcome your coming. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Maker and our Redeemer. Amen. In Luke's Gospel, in this passage where Jesus is preaching, he starts with the important word, and that is listen. Listen. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had a robust and deep prayer life. He listened. He listened every morning and every night. He listened every day. Not just so that his own words might go and reach up to heaven, but he listened because he was facing something so much bigger than any one human being, even with all of his gifts. So we start today with the idea of listening. It was interesting, I heard the word listen come up 3 or 4 times where people were trying to name it. And ironically, every single time someone said the word listen, either someone else was speaking or the furnace was coming on. There almost seemed to be something in the room that was preventing us from hearing that. And yet, today I think the thing that prevents us from listening for God is the same noise that beckons from our televisions, from our radios, from the news in the morning. We wake up listening to everything except the thing we need to listen to, the thing that Martin Luther King Jr. listened to, and that is for God's still, quiet, speaking voice. Listen. But more than that, in this first passage, we see something that I think is critical. It is so easy in today's world to take sides. The past couple weeks have been nothing short of embarrassing on the national scene. People digging in deeper and deeper, each one trying to one-up the other to prove they are right. And yet, what this passage says in Luke is that none of that is what we are to do. Instead, we are to love, to bless those who curse you, to pray for those who abuse you. In Hebrew scripture, if you want to look for an example of a narrative of how the people who lived in exile were supposed to live, the narrative was this. It was not resist the lands that you were going to and maintain only true to your heritage. It was not stage marches and fight back. It was also not give in. But instead, what the people were instructed was to make their home in the places they found themselves. Make your home and, in fact, be kind to your oppressors. I saw a video once that tried to bring this to life, and it portrayed in those ancient times a woman coming out with a plate of chocolate chip cookies and offering them to the soldier. Clearly anachronistic. And yet, the message is, be kind to everyone, even those who are oppressing you. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. Transforming. Not overcoming, not overpowering, not proving wrong, but transforming our enemies by loving them. He said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. If you remember the epic trilogy, Lord of the Rings, there is this ring of power that is capable of doing anything. And yet, it is a ring of power located purely in evil. And the message of that great book is that you dare not use that weapon, even for goodness' sake, because in doing so, you become the very thing you seek to oppose. We cannot change the world. We cannot change our nation. We cannot change this town by force, unless it is the force of love. Ephesians then turns our attention in a different way. You need to know something about Paul. Paul was a zealot. Paul was a fanatic. If there was anything you could do, he could do it better. He, like Martin Luther King's namesake, Martin Luther, believed in living a life so fully, so completely, so perfectly holy that they both discovered they could never make it there. Both of them came to understand the power of God and the power of forgiveness that changed them dramatically. But here in this letter to the Ephesians, this is in the concluding points, which says if you're going to lead a life of a person of faith, these are the marks of a good life. And what I think is so critically important about this middle point, this middle reading, is first, put away all falsehoods and instead speak truth to one another. Don't look for the edge that will give you that critical knee up on your adversary and twist the facts a little bit. Don't buy into narratives designed to stoke fear. Don't buy into narratives designed to label anyone else as evil or other. Instead, simply speak truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Who is your neighbor? Right? The Good Samaritan? Who is your neighbor? Anyone in need. Right? In the center of this is a phrase that I try every day to live up to and make it till about 10 o'clock. Let no evil come out of your mouth. Let nothing come out of your mouth except that which is either designed for upbuilding or to reveal the glory of God. Be angry, Paul says, go ahead, be angry. But when you speak, speak for upbuilding, speak for goodness. I am sure the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at some point may have said something negative towards somebody else, but I couldn't find it, and I can't remember it. If anyone else knows of such an instance, let me know. All I know is he talked about mountaintops and dreams and visions and possibilities and what the truth is that we are designed to be our neighbors. And so in this day and age, if we are to honor the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., speak only that which is designed for upbuilding. Speak only that which would reveal the glory of God. He said this, if I can find it. And I want you to think about this, not just in terms of literal violence, but in terms of spoken violence. Violence never brings permanent peace, he wrote. It solves no social problem. It merely creates new and more complicated ones. Violence is impractical because it is a descending spiral ending at destruction for all. It is immoral because it seeks to humiliate the opponent rather than win his understanding. It seeks to annihilate rather than to convert. Violence is immoral because it thrives on hatred rather than love. It destroys community and makes brotherhood impossible. And here's where it directly ties into speaking. It leaves society in monologue rather than dialogue. Does that ring true at all? Violence ends up defeating itself. It creates bitterness in the survivors and brutality in the destroyers. And so I ask you, as you go forth, to think about taking up the pledge that I am trying right now. Maybe you already are good at it. But imagine each morning as you go out into the world, see how long you can follow this maxim of only speaking to upbuild or reveal God's glory. And then I think we will live into that vision of Dr. King. And finally, we turn to this idea that John writes about in this new commandment. John gives this commandment to his disciples at his final supper in John, at the foot washing. Jesus has just washed their feet. He has just served them and knelt down to take care of their feet. Humble servitude. And he says this to them. He says, if you want to be my follower, if you want others to understand who you are, wash their feet. Get down on your knees. Love them as I have loved you, even if it comes at the cost of everything and even your own life. In John's gospel, in another place, Jesus will say, do not just love your friends, but love your enemies. In this great time of cultural division, we don't have enemies here. And so if they are short of enemies, how much easier must it be to love? Martin Luther King Jr. did say this one time. He says, I give God thanks. I give God thanks that that Jesus didn't issue the commandment that we are to like everyone else, because I don't always do that. He said, but we are called to love them. And I try to do that. That's my paraphrase of his statement. But I think it's a wise moniker to think of. Our times are not that different from his. The issues have changed. The complexities are there. The danger is probably even greater. So I invite you to contemplate these three passages and what you have heard me talk about, his ideas to guide your shape going forward. What is tomorrow? What's the name of the holiday? Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I am not one of those who wear buttons, put the Christ back in Christmas. I'm confident that's there. But I am becoming persuaded that that name, and you are absolutely right, Renzo, that is the name, that it isn't full enough. Tomorrow is the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. The reason I think that's important is the Reverend points to the fact that he drew deeply on his faith. He was in this because of his faith. And the doctor is that he was smart. He was studied. He knew what he was talking about. On any measure, Martin Luther King Jr. is worthy of our admiration and of our following. But if we forget either his roots or either his immense training for it all, we worry about sentimentalizing what he did. Friends, this church, we find worship at the center of all we do. I hope it will be that way, because then that worship will take us like it did for King and take what Jesus taught us and the beliefs of our faith and put them into action in the world. And so today, the three things to remember. Love. Love everyone. speak, only to upbuild and love as Jesus loved us. In that case, the mountaintop, it will come to us. Amen.